got a brand new way for you to end your day. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.
Now, Jess, for the last couple of months, I've tried something a little bit different as a radio announcer. I've tried to become a shock jock.
Yeah.
What's a shock jock?
I mean, we don't want you being a shock jock full time.
Oh, no.
You know, shock jocks, they say things that are controversial, mm-hmm. outrageous, and often not what a lot of people are thinking.
Right, yeah. Like, simply, I don't care.
Yeah.
No, I don't. And I've had another big call that I'd like to make. A lot of the feedback that I get on Instagram is that every big call I've made has been about food.
Yeah.
So this one is also about food.
Are you a shock jock or you were just someone who has a lot of opinions about food?
A shock chef. Maybe. Well, let's get into it. Jess, remember, like, please remember this. I do not care what you have to say.
But I will. Will I have an opinion about this or?
Yeah. So we spoke about it briefly yesterday. Kellogg's, the cereal brand, their partner company has changed their name to Kellanova. So the cereal that Kellogg's makes, you'll still see Kellogg's on the boxes.
Yep.
But the parent company, kind of like how Facebook is Meta.
Yes.
Kellanova is what they're going to be. We were talking about cereal yesterday and Will was from the newsroom was in here. And I just felt like a little mouse trying to, hey, excuse me guys, I've just got something I'd like to share. And I've decided that I'm very passionate about this.
Oh.
And
I love how you've come to this conclusion.
Yeah, I've been sitting on it for 24 hours. Rice Bubbles is the best cereal.
I mean, you're wrong.
Ever.
Like, you're just wrong.
Oh, did you know? I don't care.
I'm not even a big cereal person. Like, I'm not coming in here to like fight for, you know, Weet-Bix or Cocoa Pops even. But I just feel like Rice Bubbles are too bland.
That they're exactly what a young boy needed growing up on the farm, Jess. And I was just fine. I would put it in my and I would use my tiny spoon and I would eat it. And I would never and I still now, even if I have cereal, I would never use a big spoon. I would
so use, weird that you use a teaspoon to eat your cereal.
I don't care. 5223295 this is the part of me being a shock jock on the show where you call up and we can agree, we can disagree. I won't care, but it's a conversation. And
maybe there are other people who feel more passionately about cereals. I'm not a breakfast food person.
Rice Bubbles
so
is the best.
If you disagree with Tim, or maybe you fiercely do agree with him. He doesn't care either way. We've got Abby in Herne Hill. Abby, you're a Rice Bubble fan too, aren't you?
Well, actually, I'm not a Rice Bubble fan, but my 2.5-year-old daughter is. She'll have about 3 bowls in the morning.
Oh! Great minds think alike.
Well, that's the thing. You said it perfectly before when it's a perfect thing for young boys to grow up on. It's like, well, you're in the path there a little bit, Tim. But
I still remember the day where I think I was 11 or 12 years old and Mum used to make my breakfast, pour my Rice Bubbles every morning. And I said, Mum, I think you've got the ratio for this milk and Rice Bubbles all off. And she never made me Rice Bubbles again. I had to do it from that day. I cared then because I had to do it. But Abby, I'm glad that you're raising your young one to be great. Unfortunately, I still don't care.
What is your favourite cereal, Abby, if it's not Rice Bubbles?
I personally like Honey Nut.
Honey Nut,
with extra honey. Okay. With extra honey.
All right, Abby. I told you, I didn't care. Dylan from Newcombe's giving us a call. Probably Dylan.
Dylan, you're not a fan of Rice Bubbles as a cereal, but you think they serve another purpose.
Well, they do. So, Cocoa Pops, Corn Flakes, they're more better in a dessert form, like.
Oh, like a.
Like a chocolate crackle, a honey joy.
Yeah.
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 Dylan, I'd hate to be shocking right now, but we're talking about cereal.
Look, as someone who has made chocolate crackles with both Rice Bubbles and Cocoa Pops, I can say they are more elite when you use a Cocoa Pop.
Well, because you put marshmallow in between. Wow.
Nah, because it's like it's extra chocolatey.
Oh, sorry, someone's calling? I don't care. Thanks, Dylan. Whatever. Jai in Point Lonsdale, final caller, final don't care. How do you feel about Rice Bubbles being the best cereal?
I actually have no real opinion on the Rice Bubbles, Kellogg's, or Kellanova. You can eat whatever cereal you want, but I agree. You undeniably have to eat cereal with a teaspoon.
It feels wrong eating it with a bigger spoon, doesn't
you
it?
You need the biggest spoon possible, otherwise you don't get enough milk.
I tried it
spoon.
Once, and I felt like I was. It was a Formula One of breakfast. It was over so fast. I hated it. I really appreciate your call. It is unfortunate that you said something so great, and I still just don't care.
You don't understand what a shock jock does. This is what I'm gathering from today.
Whatever. Listening the way home,
listening to something. All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
This morning, my fiancé Akshay was getting ready for work, and we were having a bit of a conversation, and I thought, this is rich. This is a rich conversation for him to bring up just before he's about to go to work. Right. So he was packing up some stuff in the kitchen, putting some dishes away. And the last couple of days he's had off. So
he had his weekend yesterday and the day before.
Yes. He works shift work. So his shifts are very sporadic.
I don't know how he does it.
How he does it either.
Sounds awful.
Like today he's got a morning shift. Tomorrow he's got an afternoon shift. Then he's on nights. It's crazy.
No thanks.
We manage the household very, you know, we try and keep it equal.
Takes two to tango.
It does. Yeah. And so we will often, you know, like if I'm vacuuming, actually I'll be doing the kitchen. If I'm doing the bathroom, he'll be doing the bedroom, that sort of thing. And then this morning he made this bold claim. He was like putting the dishes away and he went, that's me clocking off for the next few days.
Ooh.
I went, pardon? I had some other choice words to say, but I can't
say those on the radio.
I went, excuse me, what are you talking about? You're clocking off, like, this is your job. And he was like, well, no, I'm going to be at work for the next few days, so probably won't be helping out around the house as much. I said, what? Does that mean you'll be coming home and cooking for us then? And he said, I won't be cooking. I'm working, Jess. And I said, what do you think I've been doing the last couple of days?
Well, let's not bog down in how hard we work here. That's not. I wouldn't be using that as your first line of defense.
I'm not saying that we work hard, Tim. But I've been at work. So I've been at work the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. I've come home. He's cleaned the house. Yes.
Okay.
But I've been cooking.
Okay.
Right. So does that mean our roles now switch, or does this mean he gets to clock off while he's at his real job?
Okay.
And I now have to do all of the work.
Yep. The old 1920s conundrum. Can I point out a few things?
Please.
That maybe I think the situation could
maybe
be.
Maybe it'll make me feel better.
Is this potentially, and this has been something that's popped up in your relationship, and if you're listening right now, it might have been something that's happened in yours. Is he riling you up because he knows you'll react?
Oh, he'll absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So he fully intends to continue to tidy up around the house and cook. But he's just gone, it'd be funny if I cleaned my hands of this and said, I'm not going to do anything.
Clocking off for the next three days.
And knowing that those choice words that we can't repeat on the radio, that gives him a bit of something to giggle on the way to work.
Potentially, yes.
Right.
Yes. He does enjoy riling me up.
But at the same time, I'm sure there are households out there where it is frustrating where one person maybe doesn't contribute.
Yeah.
Because keeping the house running and moving forward and tidying, it's a double full-time job.
Yeah.
There are obviously moments where someone's probably doing more, someone's probably doing less. But yeah, clocking off. I would never say those words. I would never, not once. I've took them out of the dictionary.
Why don't you go home into
the dictionary in our library at home, and I just went.
Clocking? Why don't you go home and try it tonight? Just say, hey, Jess.
Yep.
You've been. I know you've been looking after our beautiful son Jack all day. But mm-hmm. I've decided I've been at work today, so I'm clocking off.
Well, that depends. Can I stay at yours for when it goes horribly, horribly wrong? Because I know that I'm not doing it for a reaction. And I'm not brave enough. Ooh, Feel the Rush. This is a very good song. So I've the classic bait hooked.
Yeah.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Try it with your partner tonight. Guaranteed.
How many people
have
can you stay at your house, Jeff?
It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
A post has been made on one of those kind of local Facebook groups out of the Mornington Peninsula. It's gone viral because someone picked it up and said, hey, this might not be okay.
Okay, now I feel like I need to come clean. I grew up on the non-fancy side of the Ninch.
On the Ninch.
Of the Mornington Peninsula in a town called Pearsdale. Horse side, not beach side.
Sure,
just wanted to clarify because I feel like I don't want to be implicated in this early on.
So. A shopper has put a post up saying that they should have in supermarkets a boomer hour for older customers to come in and take their time shopping because that when they attend a supermarket, it is inconvenient for everyone else around them.
So are they the inconvenience or is everyone else the inconvenience?
I'm guessing that the person posting is a younger person. And they're saying that elderly shoppers...
Are we talking 50 to 70?
I guess so, yeah. Okay. 50 plus.
Okay.
They're saying that they need their own shopping hours. That they can come in, get their shopping done, have chats, be in the way.
Well, it just depends because what is it? Tuesday that's pension day.
Is
so
it?
So I'm pretty sure that's when that's when my nana hits the shops.
Fair enough.
On Tuesdays after midday.
So do you think they already have their own shopping hours?
Yeah. But that's elderly. That's not boomers.
Sure.
That's pre-war babies. I mean,
now, it's caused a pretty big debate online because a lot of people are saying, like, this is just ageism. Like, stop that. Mm. And then other people are agreeing with this original poster saying, yeah, absolutely. Like, they gave senior citizens, like, during the pandemic, they gave them, like, an advanced shopping hour.
I was like, this sounds like something that happened during COVID.
Yeah, it was like so that they could, during like the peak of COVID, there was a lot of items that were, you know, in short supply. Mm-hmm. So they gave them this like, you know, early access for elderly people so that they didn't miss out on their essential items.
That's good.
But I don't know how I feel about like why I don't get annoyed by boomers being around in the shopping center. Like, do you get annoyed by like older? I feel like boomers, we should specify, like, over 50 or?
Well, boomers, like the generation, I don't know the exact years, but like both my parents.
Yeah.
And I think your parents who are in their 60s and early 70s, they're boomers. let's go 60 plus.
Sure. Yeah. I don't get annoyed by them in the shops.
You get annoyed by a lot.
I do get annoyed by a lot of things.
You are very, like, you run hot. Like, you're...
This isn't one of the things that's on my list. I don't know why they're getting so irked by
people
doing their own shop.
You know what I'm like? I could be out there for 7 hours shopping and I could not notice if another person was around me. Unless the only thing that irrits me in the shops is when you're walking through the lanes and people... Well, actually, maybe I am part of the problem.
Here we go.
When older people don't recognize that you're trying to get past them and they're just like blocking the lane. Yeah, all right.
See, I probably act like a bit of a boomer.
Susan, this isn't just your lane, mate. We're all trying to get Vegemite here. Come on, hurry along. Make some space. Get out of my... Okay, yeah. No, I get it.
5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Should boomers have their own shopping hour?
Call it boom time.
Oh!
I'd love a bit of boom time.
Boom time does sound fun.
Deanne from Torquay, what do you think about a bit of boom time?
I think boom time sounds amazing. I've actually had this theory for about 10 plus years.
Wow.
Because my dad, who's now 80, used to be like, oh, I'm going to go shopping at 5:30. I'm like, no, you have all day to go shopping. You either go between 10 and 2, 9 to 3. Like, don't interrupt moms. Don't interrupt workers coming home after a big day. Don't go early in the morning. I might be trying to get there on my way to work.
Right. Yeah. So you think it should be within the 9 to 5, within those working hours. That's boom time because,
boom time.
Say if you're coming home from work.
Even 9 till 3. Yeah, so they're not then interrupting after school.
Okay. I've got to say, Tim and I, obviously, we work the afternoons. So my favourite time to go to the shops is 10 a.m. Like, it is almost empty. You've got the whole aisle to yourself.
I don't know about you, but do you feel defeated going to the supermarket on a weekend?
Yes.
Because you go, well, everyone's everyone's not working pretty much. The majority of us
are. No boomers on a weekend.
And boomers are
so
limited.
So you don't want a boomer hour. You just want to give them limited times.
So they're nine.
Monday to Friday.
9 to 3, Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
For anyone over the age of 50.
They have 6 hours.
That's perfect.
They get their car park right out the front. They've got the elderly parking.
You've really thought about this,
Tia. Everyone. It's a win-win.
All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
And I want to talk about the science of sleep. We've got an expert in the studio. Jess, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you for making time for me.
Very good at sleeping anywhere, in any situation, under pressure, in pain, on the sun. I imagine you could sleep, Jess.
Our 10-hour flight to Japan, I slept for about 6, maybe 7 hours, and it was middle of the day.
I almost swore. I almost swore at you. I want to talk about the science of sleep, Jess, and I feel like I'm glad you did come in as a guest of the show to talk about this at length. You were bragging that you slept for 9.5 hours to a group of new parents yesterday.
Yeah, look, it was probably rough of me to do that.
To multiple times I heard you bring it up.
I was so perplexed because I had gone to bed late thinking I would get up, at a, normal time, slept through 2 alarms.
Which is, again, normal because of how good you are at sleeping.
Ended up waking up just naturally, just super rested 9.5 hours later.
How often would you sleep over 9 hours? Like, definitely once a week?
At least once a week.
Okay, so I'm going to break down some sleep science. Now, there's no gold at the end of this rainbow. I've been doing as much research, but essentially a sleep expert has come out about all the wrong ways you can sleep. And I was like waiting for the end bit where here's the right way.
No.
It never came. So that 6 to 8 hours of sleeping is what we aim for. Anything under 6 or 5 hours, that's not good for your health.
Sure.
Anything over 9 hours, also not good for your health.
Oh, really?
You can oversleep. Positions. What position do you sleep in? Like, what is your default sleeping position?
I know
position?
That I'm bad for this because my fiance Akshay is always telling me off for it. I'm either like perfectly flat on my back.
You do Scarface.
Or
like hands up.
Hands up on the pillow, perfectly flat on my back. Or I'm perfectly on my face. Like face into the pillow, hands again on the pillow. Like I've fallen over.
And do you have a leg cocked up or are you straight?
Yeah, usually left leg cocked.
That is the worst position to sleep in. Apparently, it increases mortality all across the board. Cardiovascular disease, all type of diseases associated with sleeping in that position and for that long. That's the free faller position, Jess.
Yeah.
It's the worst, probably the worst
so
position.
So comfy, though.
Anyone can sleep in. It could leave you with a lifetime of back and neck problems, which you constantly badger on about.
I do not.
Sleeping on your back, again, bad for people with sleep apnea. Sleeping on your stomach, not good. She has suggested what could only be described as a mountain of pillows to put yourself and lock you in a certain position.
Really?
But it's like, put it under, if you're going to sleep on your front, put some pillows under your shins, put one under your tummy.
Right.
It sounds like so much work at this point. Sleeping on your side, you're thinking, oh, maybe Tim, maybe
here
I'm clean. No, also bad for you, really bad for your hips,
so how
also
are you supposed
bad
to
for
sleep?
Your neck. Don't know. Again, I've looked into everything into this study, and it just says all the bad things. Nothing of like, here's how you should be sleeping.
Right.
So I feel like I've been baited. And now I'm hoping for the right answer.
Those beds that we used to try out, we used to, it was like the ergonomic setting.
Oh, the zero gravity mattress.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe that's the only way.
No, sleeping in space, bad for your spine. If I find the silver lining, don't you worry, I'll bring it to you. But it's looking mighty great at the moment.
You've got a brand new way to drive home. It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Will from the newsroom, he has sauntered in. He's
sauntered.
Looking beautiful, sounding great.
Yeah.
Will, you having a good day so far, mate?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Sounds scripted.
You?
All very well.
Yes, things are going well.
Jess has got a sort of normal voice back.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's classic. Classic Jess.
We've all been through puberty, okay? Oh,
all right. Well, let's jump into this before you sprout.
Tim and Jess. K-Rock. Have you been paying attention? But on the radio.
Let's find out. Big Will from the newsroom brings us 3 news stories every single day. Leaves out some key elements. Tim, you and I, we have to fill in the blanks.
That's correct.
All right. So we'll start with Jonathan Thurston, Tim Cahill, and Nova Peris. All those names are among some in the news at the moment. What's so relevant about them?
Have they been inducted into the Australian Sporting Hall of Fame?
That's exactly what has happened, yeah.
Oh.
Could not have said it more perfectly myself, Tim. You've been paying attention today.
Thank you.
It's like, I'm 90% sure those boys all don't all play the same sport.
Yeah, Nova Peris is a woman and a politician.
Damn.
But
it's
sorry to all the Nova parents.
Sorry, guys.
Well-known woman politician and former athlete.
Absolutely, I knew that.
First Indigenous medalist.
Well done.
At the Olympics.
What a bloke. What a guy.
We'll move along. Some bad news for Donald Trump, and I'm not talking about his current issues in
his impeachment
in court. Yes, that's the one. His impeachment. He's failed to make what list?
The Forbes billionaire list.
Yes.
Really?
Should have made this harder.
I saw him in the news.
Wait, is he only a millionaire now?
Ah, poor.
Well, Forbes do their 400. Richest people in America, and he's not on there.
Wow.
About time. I saw something. You know why? I saw some news that he ordered 16 large McDonald's meals. If you do that every day, that'll tell you from a billion to a milli real quick.
Do you reckon he's still smashing his 12 Diet Cokes a day?
Is that what he used to do?
He used to, when he was president.
With his button.
Yeah.
Didn't he have
he had a Diet Coke button.
A button.
If we could have a Pepsi Max button,
oh,
install it. Well, I have so many buttons in front of me.
One
all
of them
useless.
Should be Pepsi Max.
Have you tried them all? Maybe one.
Yeah. Everyone stay here while I press every button on this desk. Here we go.
All right. And Carrie Bickmore is also in the news. She's set to host a reboot of what TV show?
Ooh, a reboot.
It's one of those things where I saw the story, didn't necessarily investigate further.
Are you sort of sitting back now because you don't want to seem like a know-it-all?
Is it Australia's Funniest Home Videos?
No.
Okay. Oh, that'd be good.
It's going to flug it. That's called Instagram Reels at the moment. Jess, we don't need that show anymore.
So is that true. A bit of a clue, the noise? There?
The Weakest Link?
She's too nice to be
weakest
link person.
It's Deal or No Deal.
Oh, no way!
Coming back to Channel 10.
Deal or No Deal is the one with the briefcases.
Wasn't wasn't Andrew O'Keefe? He was the...
Yeah, he was.
I was on
it once.
You were.
I was I was case number 26.
Oh, that's where they yell.
I got to shake it. Like,
how much money was in your briefcase?
It was like $200, but I was like, 2,000!
You went home with nothing?
I went home with nothing. But what an 8-hour day. Tell you what.
What an experience.
Good boy. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Tim and Jess. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.